All right, praise the Lord. Now return. Like my kids tell me, okay, Dad, you're hooked on now. Anyway, so it is an honor to be here. You know, I remember last year when I came here with my wife, and we were blessed, you know, by being here also. And that was when Pastor Caldwell was here. And I received a call from Brother Shane, and I was in Florida when Brother Shane called me. I was at a mission conference in Ocala, Florida. And I heard the news, I said, wow, praise the Lord. Lord, you're good to us. Good to us. So it's good to be here, and it's a joy, you know, to be here. Whenever I read the Word of God and I study it, I take it personally. It's personal to me. Now, many people, even born-again believers, you know, they read the Bible, and it shouldn't be like that. You know, it's like they're reading a newspaper, but we shouldn't do that. You know, God is really speaking to us. I was an Catholic, and for me to find God through His Word, it was like finding a gold mine. Because we were never taught that, you know, in the Catholic religion. So it was new to me. And I thank the Lord that somebody in 1979, you know, witnessed to me. And I got saved in 1979. So I thank the Lord, you know, for that. I'm glad that I found the Lord. Now, I'm saying I found Him because He always knew where I was. You know, we always hear people saying, oh, the Lord found me. I don't think so. I think we found the Lord because He always knew where we were and where we are. So I am so debtful to the Lord for what in my life. I know I could never repay Him for what He has done for me. There's no way. I could never repay Him. But the only thing that I can offer my Lord is my obedience and my faithfulness to Him until He calls me home to glory. Now, with that being said, last year, you know, the Lord was dealing with me on a certain passage of the Scripture. Even though I had read it many times, but I have never felt like this before. And I looked at the passage, like the Lord was speaking to me, which He is, but as I was with Him, physically, if you will. And when I saw that passage, I said, I thought of myself. I thought of my past, what I did for a living, you know, before, and where I am now. And only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord. But we have to allow the Lord to speak to us and then answer the call and yield to the call. Now, that was my problem. Even though I had answered the call back in 1983, but I have never yielded myself to the call. Big difference between answering and yielding. So now I yielded myself to the call 150%. Even though the Lord had to take some drastic decisions in my life to wake me up. And He did. Because I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that I was called by God. I was chosen by God, you know, to do His work. We started the Spanish church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, back in 2003, where I was the pastor, until 2011. And then I went back to Tabernacle Baptist Church, our sending church, where the Lord laid in my heart to go to Costa Rica as missionaries. And it is a blessing. Pastoring and being a missionary to go to another place is totally different. I tell you right now, we learn a lot. And we are privileged that the Lord has chosen us to go to Costa Rica as missionaries. So grateful, and I thank the Lord for that. Now, with that being said, I want to share with you the passage this morning, which is found in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to be reading from verse 18 to 22. And when you have it with you, let's all stand for the reading of the Word of God. Because I believe that the Word of God, who is God speaking to us, deserves reverence. And Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." They were fishers. Verse 19, "And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I like the way Mark said it in chapter 1 of Mark. And I believe it's verse 16 or 17. He said, "I will make you to become fishers of men." I like the way Mark said it. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left the net and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending the nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship, not only the ship, left their father and followed him. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, we thank you again for the privilege that we have to be here this morning under your word, under your guidance, under your protection. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And we ask you, Father God, this morning that you'll speak to our hearts in a special way. Speak to us, Father God. May your Holy Spirit, who's in us, you know, really convict us, you know, Father God, and keep on guiding us in the right path of righteousness. Father, right now, be with your servant, anoint him with the power that you have from on high, and we give you thanks, and for who you are, Lord Jesus, because you are our God, Savior of the world, and we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for who you are. And we pray in your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. The title of this message is by a question. Now, while I ask you that question, in the meantime that I ask you that question, I want you to think about something that you love to do, that you have a passion for. I want you to think about that. Something that you love to do and that you have a passion for. Now, God, I believe, is not interested in our age. Whether you are young, teenager, or an adult, or a middle age, or upper age, you know, like I am, God doesn't look at ages. He will use whoever he wants to use for his glory. I'm 66 years old, and I don't feel a day over 40 years old. I don't. Spiritually speaking, physically, I may get there a little bit, but I feel still strong to do the work of the Lord. And it's him that gives me that strength to do that. It's not me. I've been sick many times. Look at my voice. It's him that perhaps he had allowed me to lose my voice for a few weeks. I don't know. Maybe to relax, to, you know, get back on the track again, because he knew we were going to go to Costa Rica on Tuesday for 3 weeks. So I needed my voice, and thank God I'm getting it back. So please pray for me about that voice. In this particular passage, are you prepared to serve God? That's the question. Are you prepared to serve God? Now, I want to share with you four things in that passage. Number one, the passion of the disciples. The passion of the disciples. In verse 18, we see that Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon, whom they called Peter also, and then Andrew, his brother. And by the way, Andrew had met the Lord before through John the Baptist when he was preaching. And when he met the Lord, he was to tell that to his brother, Simon Peter, that he had met the Messiah. So now Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon Peter and Andrew, and what they were doing, they were fishing. They were casting the net, and they were fishers. That's what they did for a living. They dedicated their lives to fishing. That's what they did. That was their passion. Same thing also, you know, in verse 21, when Jesus saw also James and John, sons of Zebedee. They were fishermen, you know, also. And they dedicated their lives, they devoted their lives to fishing. That was their passion. Now, you probably be saying, Brother Gilbert, why do you say that they were passionate about fishing? Well, when we study the scriptures, and I found that passage in Luke chapter 5, verses 2 to 11. But one particular verse caught my attention. It was verse 5 in Luke chapter 5, 2 to 11, but mostly concentrating on verse 5. And this is what it says in verse 5. A part of that verse. It says that they, of course, Peter and his brother and other fishermen, you know, also, that they work all night and cast nothing. They work all night. That's the key word. They work all night. Now you tell me, somebody that's fishing or doing something all night long, you've got to have a passion for this. My passion was architecture and construction. That's what I did for a living for decades. I was an architect and a builder. I designed buildings and built them. That was my passion. Until the Lord got a hold of me. He said, I've called you. What are you doing? You need to go full-time into the ministry. But the Lord had to take drastic decisions in my life to wake me up. And I tell you what, my beloved, when the Lord calls somebody, he means business. He means business. He really does. Sometimes like me, even though I knew that I was called, I answered the call back in 1983, but I have never yielded myself to the call. I had one step in the world, if you will, my business, my passion, if you will, and I had also one step with God. Now remember, God is a very jealous God. He wants all for himself, but in the holy, godly way, not the fleshly way, not the natural way. So he wanted me to give up all myself to him, leaving my passion behind, which was architecture and construction. So their passion was fishing, those fishermen. My passion was architecture and construction. My question to you this morning, what is your passion? What is your passion? I want you to think about that. What is your passion? Okay? The passion of the disciples. Second, let's look at the preparation of the disciples. In verse 19, Jesus said unto them, and he said unto them, follow me. Follow me. Now, why did Jesus told them to follow him? Well, Jesus wanted to prepare the disciples for the future, teaching them about the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus wanted to do. And those disciples, they were with Jesus 3 full years every single day and night they were walking with Jesus, and Jesus was teaching them and preparing them. Now, I was an architect and a builder. I also taught architecture and construction at university, college level, for more than 30 years. And I've seen many students that came to work for me, but I had really to look at what they were doing in class. And I wanted to know their passion, and I knew that they had the passion for that. But they were preparing themselves to go to architectural school down the road to get a degree and become architects, like me. Now the Lord is preparing my wife and I to go to Costa Rica as missionaries. It has been a long process, you know, during that road. That is a glorious journey of deputation, a glorious journey. Some people say, oh man, I cannot deal with this. You know, calling pastors, they don't answer your calls, and they're going to churches and they don't care about you. But you know what though? That is the preparation that God is trying to get to you. God is preparing. So if we cannot take that during that time, how do you think that you're going to handle all the things in the field? It's going to be hard. So the Lord is preparing us, my wife and I, preparing many of us here in this room, and praise the Lord for that preparation. We need to be prepared. Sometimes we want to attain the final line. We want to have the final product in our hands without going through a preparation to attain that final product. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Like my students, they had to go to architectural school. They had to prepare themselves. I had to teach them. I had to try to prepare them for what's coming down the road to become an architect. And they had to go through that preparation. If they didn't, they couldn't become architects. They couldn't become builders. So they had to go through that. So this is the reason why God chose those four, Simon, Peter, Andrew, and James, and John, to prepare them for down the road. Now, even though Jesus was teaching them about the kingdom, I'm sure, almost 100% sure, they did not quite understand, you know, everything. They did not. They did not. So God was trying to prepare them. To prepare them. And it's hard. Hard. And especially if you were a student. And they were, if you will, student of the Master. Master, our Lord and Savior Jesus. And they wanted to, God wanted to prepare them for what's down the road. So not only the passion of the disciples, and my passion, which was architecture and construction, and whatever your passion is, beloved. Second, their preparation, my preparation, and is still preparing me. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is doing four things in our lives, my wife and I. He's preparing us. He's paving the way for us in Costa Rica. He is protecting us on the road. Many a times we could have been dead, believe it or not. And then also he is providing for us on the road. I'm telling you right now, beloved, many a times I did not have a single penny in my pocket to put gas in the tank to go around. And I remember once we were in Lexington, South Carolina at Calvary Baptist Church. And that particular evening, I had only $10 in my pocket. And the next day, I was supposed to go to Walterboro, South Carolina, which is a four-hour drive from Lexington. And I know that the tank of that car, that $10 that I had in my pocket, will never fill the tank. I knew that. And I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow morning because I have to put gas in that car to drive to Waterboro. After I preached that particular evening, a brother came to me and he shook my hands, you know, for the message that the Lord had on my heart. And he thanked me for that. But I told him, to God be the glory. It's for him, not for me. But when he shook my hand, I felt something, that he put something in my hand. Now, I knew that it was some kind of bill, a dollar bill. I don't know what it was. But I knew it was some kind of money, a paper money. So I took it and put it in my pocket. I didn't even look at it. When I was going back to the car, and by curiosity, like many of us will do, by curiosity, I took it out. I said, Lord, thank you. $100 bill. $100 bill. Beloved, whenever we do the work of the Lord, and he knows our hearts, he knows our hearts, if we mean business with him or not, if we are truly doing the work because we want to serve him, he will provide for our needs one way or the other. And I thank the Lord for that, for his provision. So the preparation, the passion. Now let's look at now the potential of the disciples. The potential. In verse 19, after Jesus told the disciples, follow me, he told them, and I will make you fishers of men. Their potential. Now, how do you detect someone with potential? How? Well, remember, I was a teacher, a professor for more than 30 years. And I could detect if someone has the potential or not. And the Lord did also. He saw a potential in the disciples. Now, how do you detect someone that has potential? One word. One word. Passionate. Passion for something that somebody loves to do. Passion. I saw the passion some of the students had. Jesus saw the passion that the disciples had for fishing. And the Lord saw the passion also in me. Because I was passionate about architecture and construction. I dreamed architecture. I ate architecture. Believe it or not, I went to bed, I just thought about architecture and construction. And the next day I get up, I just put it on paper what I was dreaming about. That was my life. I dreamt and ate architecture and construction. So that was my passion. And the Lord saw that passion in me. And the Lord said, hey, wait a minute. You have a passion for architectural construction? I can use you in my vineyard. You have potential, my son. Now, I want to share something with you right now quickly. And sometimes, you know, the Lord does things in our lives, but we don't understand it right away. We don't see it right away. And we have to reflect on the past to understand, to truly and fully understand what God is trying to convey to you. I remember in 1971, I was 18 years old. 18 years old. I was getting ready to go to architecture school. And before I entered architecture school at Pratt Institute, New York City, in Brooklyn, New York, we had to take what's called a pre-course before we entered architectural school to make sure that's what you love to do. So what we had to do is to go all around the city and all around the parks in New York City drawing buildings. That was our task, drawing buildings. One day, I was in Central Park in New York City. And that particular day, I did not feel drawing buildings. Now, does it make sense to you? You want to become an architect. Your course or your task that particular day was to draw a building, and you don't want to draw buildings? Now, that doesn't make any sense in the flesh. Naturally speaking, it doesn't make sense. But now, I understand it now. But at that time, I did not. Because I wasn't even saved at the time. So what I was doing, I was walking all around that park in Central Park, New York City, around the lake that they have. And I started walking around the lake. And I noticed an old man, long white hair and long white beard, with small hat, deep blue eyes. I was intrigued by this old man. And I asked him, "Do you mind if I sketch you and draw you?" He said, "Sure, why not?" I sat down a few feet away and I sketched him. Probably took me like 30 to 45 minutes to sketch them. And by the way, I still have the original of that sketch. So after I finished drawing the sketch and I showed it to him, and the old man said to me, "Not bad, not bad at all." And that old man, I believe, was probably in the late 80s, maybe even the early 90s. So I sat down next to him and I started talking to him, sharing the passion that I had for architecture and construction, to design buildings and building them. Beloved, I was doing all the talking. I don't know how long, maybe more than an hour. The old man never picked up or never said a word to me. He just listened and listened and listened and listened. Me, on my part, I totally forgot about the students and the teacher, and I didn't know where they were. And I got up quickly from that concrete bench, and he was sitting with his leg crossed. And as I stood up, that old man grabbed me by my arm, and this is what he said to me. And looking in my eyes, with his deep blue eyes, squeezing my arm, and he said, "Son, one of these days you'll become a preacher." I said, "No, it's not for me. I'm not interested in that. My passion is architecture and construction." I left it, old man, never saw him before. I didn't even know his name. I never asked him for his name. I don't know why. You think you will ask somebody for his name, but I didn't. It even occurred to me to ask for this old man's name. So I left. I went to school, graduated, and kept going. Became an architect, did everything that I needed to do as architecture and construction. Never saw the old man anymore. But the old man saw something in me. What did he see? He saw the passion that I had for architecture and construction. Now, I don't know about that old man, if he was an angel from the Lord or God himself. I have no idea. I have no idea. But the only thing that I know, he told me that I would become a preacher one of these days. And 12 years later, in 1983, I answered the call to preach. After I got saved in 1979, I answered the call to preach in 1983. And ever since that time, I've been preaching. I'm doing everything for the Lord, obeying Him. The Lord is in control of my life. So, with all that, like I said, the old man saw my passion. He probably was thinking, "Hey, this guy has potential to work for God." I saw the passion that the kid, my student, had. The way they were behaving themselves, drawing and getting into it, working day and night without sleeping, doing their project. I saw a potential in them for them to become architects. Not all of them. But those that I saw with potential, many of them came to work for me. And I taught them, I prepared them. Jesus saw the potential in those disciples when they were fishing. He saw the potential also in me as an architect and a contractor. now he's calling me to his vineyard. Those fishermen, before they were fishers of fish, if you will. Now, Jesus told them that I will make you fishers of men, to fish men. Now God, before I was an architect, my job was designing buildings as an architect and constructing and building them. But now, thank God that I answered the call and I yielded myself to the call. I am no more architecture of buildings. But now, to God be the glory, I'm an architect of souls. That's the most important. I'm an architect of souls. The Lord wants to use me for his glory, not for Jean-Claude, because I am no one. I'm just a servant trying to serve the Lord to the best that I can to give him the glory. So now I'm an architect of souls. And praise the Lord for that. Their passion, the disciples, my passion, what is your passion? Their preparation, my preparation, will you allow God to prepare you? No matter how old you are, no matter how old you are, their potential, my potential, and God sees in each one of you a potential that you have to serve him. He sees that in you. He's telling you. And finally, in verse 20, and they said, and they straightaway left the nets, followed him. And in verse 22, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Lastly, the position of the disciples. My position. What could be your position? Their position, their past position was fishing. They have a new position now. Is fishers of men. My new position is architect of souls, not buildings, you know, anymore. They left everything behind, the disciples. They left everything behind. That's hard to do. I left everything behind as an architect and a builder. I left everything behind. Before, I used to do it for myself. But now, if I had to do it, perhaps in the field, but now, it will be for him and for his glory, not for me anymore. The Lord sometimes allows us to do things that we love to do for a while. He will allow you because he has given us a gift. Until we realize the gift that he has given us is for us to use it for his glory. We have to realize that and recognize that whatever God gives us is for his glory and to use it for his glory. Beloved, we need to think about that. Let that dwell in us. Let that be engraved in our hearts. And etch in our hearts that whenever God gives you something, it's for him to use you with that gift that he is giving you for his glory. The position of the disciples. They left everything behind. They even left their family, their father. They left their friends behind to serve God. Now, to conclude, I have four more questions that I would like to ask to conclude. Now, remember the title of that message is, Are You Prepared to Serve God? Are you prepared to serve God? Now, those four questions to conclude is, the first question is, are you prepared to leave everything behind that you love to do? That you had a passion for to serve God. Are you prepared to do that? Are you prepared to do that? Second question. Are you prepared to live your comfort zone to serve God? That's hard to do. My comfort zone was architecture and construction. That was my comfort zone. My wife's comfort zone, and I know many ladies probably will agree with me on that one. My wife's comfort zone are the kids, the grandkids, the great-grandkids, the home. That's her comfort zone. And now she's leaving everything behind to serve God. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard. Even I myself, it's hard to leave everything behind. But I know that God is in control of our lives. He will give us that grace to keep on going. He'll give it to us. And sometimes we won't even feel it when we go through some hard times. And we all do go through some hard times. But He will give you that grace to keep going. He will help you along. So are we prepared, or are you prepared to leave everything behind? Are you prepared to leave your comfort zone to serve God? The other question is, are you prepared to serve God without reservation? Wow, that's a tough one. Are you prepared to serve God without reservation? You know, many times we want to give God excuses not to serve Him, you know, right away. I give the excuse to God because of my job, my passion. And so God says, okay, enough is enough. I've called you. Are you prepared to serve God without reservation? Many people in the Word of God, in the Bible, you know, they don't serve God because they always give excuses to God. Moses was one of them. He said, I cannot talk. I stutter. But God wanted to use him. And by the way, I want to share something with you right now quickly about stuttering, like Moses in the past. When I first came to this country back in 1965, I was in the 7th grade and the 8th grade and high school and college. But during the 7th grade and all through high school, I never opened my mouth in school. I was scared to death. Why? Because I stuttered. I did. I stuttered. And I was scared to death to open my mouth for 6 full years. Now, to become an architect, you had to present your work to teachers, other architects, and so forth. And that first year, I was shocked. I said, Lord, I didn't know him about that, but I need help. And I presented my work. And even though I was still stuttering a little bit, but I learned not to stutter anymore. And who would have known that I would become a preacher one of these days? And we do a lot of talking. And you know what? I do not stutter anymore. I may have an accent, but I don't stutter anymore. Besides Moses, many other people that the Lord called them and talked to them about coming to serve God, they give excuses to God. One of them said, oh, I have to bury my father and I will come, you know, to serve you. Or I have to take off my family and my business, then I come to serve you. And Jesus told those people, and that's pretty tough saying, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. Wow. That's pretty tough. So are we prepared to serve God without reservation, without giving excuses to God to serve Him? No matter what it is, let's not give excuses to God. Because God eventually will take that into account and say, wait a minute, I've called you, but you don't want to listen. And I will take some drastic decision in your life for you to listen. The fourth question and the last one, and I'm done. Are you prepared? Now, this is the tough one. Are you prepared to expect the unexpected from God while you are serving Him. Now, that is a tough one. Are you prepared to expect the unexpected from God while you are serving Him? I'll tell you what, my beloved. Many things that has happened to us while serving God unexpectedly. Just a few weeks ago, my wife got into a wreck. We don't have a car. The only car that we have is my truck. That's it. Now, who would have thought? And that car was the car that we used to use on deputation. And we don't have it anymore. I remember once, we were in, just a few weeks ago, we were in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I had the truck with me because I had all the transportation, but just to use the truck. One Monday morning, we had to go soul winning with the church, with the pastor in Fayetteville. So I had my truck, I got the address, I went to the address, parked my car there, and I saw some people working on some cars in the garage, and I started talking to them. I gave them a track to invite them to the conference that particular evening. I said, well, if we can, we come, and so forth. I go back to the truck, and the truck won't start. The truck won't start. Now, God took me to that place. Mechanics working on the car, and my truck will not stop. It drove from Georgia to Fayetteville, North Carolina for a few days until the last day of the conference. And the truck will not stop. And I call those mechanics, check the car, say, well, it could be the battery. If worse comes to worse, you know, it could be the alternator or the starter. But you can go to AutoZone, and then they will really fully check the car for you. So they give me a booster. I went to AutoZone. It was the battery. $200 battery. But I'm saying all that to say this, that the Lord allowed me to go to that particular place. I could have been stuck on the road between Georgia and Fayetteville. But He took me directly to the mechanic place. Wow, that's God. I don't care what anybody says. God is in control of everything. Everything that we do, God is in control of it. And He allows it. He allows it for one reason. He allows it to test our faith. Are we prepared to expect the unexpected from God while we are serving Him? I can give you stories after stories after stories that we've been through during deputation. Even before deputation, when I was pastoring, you know, also the Spanish church, that shows you that God is always and will always be in control of everything. But you have, or we have, to allow ourselves to yield to Him and to believe in God. It tells us in His Word that we must trust Him in everything. Everything. And that's hard. So, beloved, are we prepared, or are you prepared to serve God? Expected than expected. Are you prepared to serve God no matter how old you are? Now, that's hard. If you feel that the Lord is calling you in the ministry, whatever it is, allow yourself and yield yourself to the will of God. I know it's hard, I know that, but allow yourself to let God work in you and through you. Believe me, I know it's hard. I know that because I've been there before. But God gives me grace gives grace to my wife also. And I know, and my wife knows it also, that the Lord has bigger and better things for us in Costa Rica. We want to plant churches. That's our goal, to plant churches in Guanacaste, in Iberia, Santa Cruz, to establish the first Baptist Bible College in Guanacaste. I will really put the whole curriculum together, and also to start a Christian academy in Guanacaste. That's our vision. And I will really put the whole vision on paper. I even drew the master plan for that vision. Now, you know, I was an architect and a contractor. I put that together already. But it's for the Lord's glory, not my glory. But there's one prayer, a specific prayer, that I want to ask you to pray for before I finish. I'm asking the Lord to give us a minimum of 72 acres of land. And with God, nothing is impossible. Now, we have to believe that. If that's the Lord's will for Him to give us to 72 acres for free, and I'm asking God, direct me to the right people and the right place. And I have already a bunch of areas that I've mapped out already where we're going to be checking out when we go to Costa Rica on Tuesday. And I'm praying that the Lord will guide us to the right people and the right place for them to give us that land for the vision, you know, that we have for the ministry. With God, nothing is impossible. But we've got to believe it. We've got to believe it. God doesn't want us half and half. We've got to believe it. So pray for us. Covet your prayers, beloved. And thank you again, Brother Shane, my brother, and everybody here this morning for allowing us to be here. And like I said earlier, we are deeply honored to be part of this conference. And I'm so happy to see many brothers and sisters that we know, my wife and I. And it's good to see you again, all of you. And may the Lord bless you all in a special and mighty way. Did I say you all? You know what, in regards to you all, I was in Smithfield at Calvary Baptist Church. Pastor Gray, the father of Brother Gray at that time. And after I finished speaking, one of the sisters came up to me. She said, Brother Gilbo, we're going to have to teach you how to speak Southern. It's not you all. It's y'all. It's y'all. But you know what, though? I haven't mastered it yet. I'm still learning that Southern language. Can you imagine a Southern language with a French accent? Well, that's something, huh? Hey, but you know what? With the Lord, everything is possible. Thank you again. May the Lord bless y'all in a special and a mighty way. And may He keep on using you for His glory. Thank you, Brother Shane. God bless you all. Thank you.